Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello, welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. Last week we read, the Hunway's armor felt cool on Adar's skin. And in the back of his mind, he wondered why that was, but did not dwell on it. He brought up his dagger, used it to flip up the faceplate, and then stuck it into the Hunway's eye. The Hunway loosened his grip as he feebly grabbed for Adar's hand. Adar had already yanked out the dagger and rammed it in again, this time burying it up past the hilt in the other eye. The Hunway lost the ability to control his arms and went limp. Adar pulled out his dagger and stepped back. He was certain he had just dealt it an unrecoverable blow. Let's see the metal goo heal that, he thought. The Hunway stood, balanced for several of Adar's heartbeats before it crashed back into the burning building. Sparks and burning wood flew up as the body sunk into the flames. Adar turned and ran, wishing that he had time to find the blasters of the other dead Hunway. And now, Chapter 17, Part 1. Fire was all Adar could see. It filled his vision wherever he looked. Flames climbed the walls of the buildings and danced at the top. In many places, those walls had started to crumble. It was becoming more difficult to tell where the alley and his path to freedom was located. It even seemed as if fire burned in the sky above him, though there wasn't anything up there to burn. The thought crossed his mind that it might be a weapon of the Hunway with which he was not yet familiar, but he pushed it away. He told himself it was just the wind moving the flames, and he hoped to the gods he was right. A pool of water that had been much larger when he'd first entered the alley was now minutes away from being completely turned into steam. The flames reflected off the remnant of the pool as he splashed through it. The water that splashed onto his legs was warm. When he had first entered the alley, he had been soaked to the bone. Now his clothes were almost dry. It was a mercy he'd been drenched thoroughly by the rain when all this had started. Wasn't the pool on the far side nearest where the ship went down? He wondered. He shook his head as he ran without changing direction. It wasn't the first time he had wondered if he was turned around and running the wrong way. Wouldn't that just be my luck? He thought. He held his breath, hoping to avoid taking in more of the smoke. Melia knew he'd already inhaled enough of the stuff already. He had been so focused on fighting the Hunway he hadn't even thought about the fact he was breathing in the heady stuff. At first he had bent over every few steps to take a breath, but it had not helped, so he had given up and pushed all the faster. It was not until he almost passed out that he tried again and lost precious time sucking in whatever air he could before his fears overcame him and propelled him forward again. Each second that passed made it much harder to keep from taking in the smoke. I may be headed into the belly of the beast, he thought, but at least I'll die on my own terms, refusing to breathe of my own accord rather than choking on the smoke. He let out a snort of derision that turned into a fit for breath. His body rebelled, and smoke was pulled into his mouth. He coughed and pushed out the breath of air he had been holding, dying to inhale again but knowing he should not. The heat was unbearable. The air was poison. It was impossible to see. Through it all, he did not stop moving. He leaped over a burning pile of rubble, only to find he was now plunging through the remains of a wall. Now I'm running through a building, he thought. By the gods, I better not be going in circles. He was about to pull to a stop until he saw cobblestones at his feet. He was still in the alley after all. He pushed forward, running faster. The flames shifted and the way ahead became clear, so he pumped his legs, ignoring his chest that seemed about to burst. Finally, he could put it off no longer and involuntarily hailed. Smoke entered through his nose and filled his lungs. His mouth opened and he could taste it on his tongue as if he'd just eaten a spoonful of hot ash. One moment he was surrounded by flame, the next he was free. The sudden change might have been surprising if he wouldn't have been choking on the smoke he had just inhaled. Something tugged at his feet and he tripped, landing on the road. His hand slipped on the smooth cobblestones, and an elbow plunked down hard at a bad angle, sending tingling pain shooting up his arm. He tried to inhale a large breath of air, but choked and fell into a coughing fit. His mouth and tongue were covered with ash. The roof of his mouth was dry and powdery. When he brought up his hand, he wasn't surprised to see that it had been blackened. His bare forearms, clothing, and boots were soot-covered as well. Crawling to his knees, he cleared his throat and spat. Even his spittle had been darkened. Kira isn't likely to recognize me, he thought wryly as he hawked up another black wad of spit. I'd be able to walk right by her. Not that he would, of course. He pushed himself up and shook his head, trying to clear his head of the smoke. He had been smelling the stuff for weeks. Adar cast his eyes about as he fought through another spell of coughing and wondered if Bark had made a break for it. He would not blame the man if he had. He hoped Bark had stuck around. He could really use the help. What he wouldn't have done to have an army at his disposal. Bark and Kira would have made three, but somebody needed to look after Lars. The lad wouldn't be able to come along for what Adar planned to do next. Kira would throw a fit when he left her behind again, but what other option was there? Isaac and all his men could go to the nine burning fires for all Adar cared. As Adar couldn't get to Terra, taking control of a ship was most important. Adar was tempted to forego returning to Kira until after going to the town square, but he had promised. I will have to be quick, though, he thought. There won't be any time for her threats or for a long discussion. I'll tell it like it is, and she can just deal with it. Melia knows how little time I have to capture a ship if it already is not too late. Something needed to be done about the Hunway, but Adar recognized that wasn't going to happen. He did not have any illusions about what he, with a couple of others, would be able to do against so many of them. At the very least, he needed one of the ships, a working ship, even though he would have no clue how to use it, was something he could not let slip through his fingers. He growled. If he had not been so focused on chasing down Terror, he would have stopped to explore one of them earlier. He had figured he would have the opportunity to do that later, but that had been a mistake. Confound it all. Terror had spun Adar's mind upside down, and he had been running through Zekirani trying to find the man ever since. They might have just lost a huge opportunity because of Terror. Adar took a deep breath. No. This was his fault. He had let Terror get to him. After another breath, he forced himself to think of his options, limited though they were. He still had Bark, if he could find the man. Had there been enough time for Arrow to calm down? Nir might be open to joining Adar, and that would be two more right there. It wouldn't be enough to fight the Hunway, but with the blasters he'd stashed and three men, Adar would have a team. That might be enough to secure one of the ships. After hacking up more blackened spit than he thought he had in him, Adar could take in air without coughing. His ability to breathe was still hampered, though. Every time he inhaled, it was accompanied by wheezing. When he exhaled, he could feel the need to cough, but repressed it. He sounded like a dying dog. His mouth was wet again. All the coughing had at least done that for him. The old man and the woman with the baby weren't on the street any longer. Adar wondered if the woman had just gone back into her house or if she had fled, taking her infant to a safer location. He hoped it was the latter. Adar had not stopped to talk with either of them. Perhaps that had been a mistake. How long would it have taken for him to shout out a warning about the danger not being over? If they had witnessed the destruction of the first wave of Hunway, they might have figured that the same thing would happen to any more. Curse Terran's pride, he thought. Would he even care if he knew about all the lives he put in danger when he stole the tablet from me? It was doubtful. The fool could only think of himself. Adar had known that for a long time. He had tried to tell himself he could handle the man, and that had only put everybody in greater danger. He should never have agreed to a truce with Terror. He should have killed the man as soon as he showed up. When Adar looked over his shoulder, he saw the buildings on either side of the alleyway from which he had just come were now engulfed in flames that reached into the sky. Another couple of minutes and he would have been crispy meat. He noticed several blisters on the top of his hand. Well, he would have been crispier. Great billowing clouds of smoke frothed and churned from the fires. The homes across the street from the alley had caught fire too. It would not be long before everything on the street burned as well, hotter than the nine blazing fires of hell. The whole city was liable to burn down if something wasn't done. Adar backed away from the heat and wished he could think of something to do to stop the fire from spreading. He had never before fought a fire on this scale and didn't have the slightest notion of what needed to be done. Back in Rarbon, there was a special group of guards who were trained to handle this sort of thing. He had not been through their training, and from what he could recall, hadn't ever even had a conversation with any of them. If there were such a group of guards here in Zekirani, they could have already abandoned their posts or might be dead. He could do nothing to stop the city from burning other than hope the fire died out on its own accord. That was something more likely to happen closer to the center of the city, where the city planners had put in roads that were double the width and left more space in between buildings. Sweat dripped into Adar's eyes, stinging as it did. He resisted the urge to wipe it away with the back of his hand like he was prone to do and endured it instead. Getting soot and ash into his eyes would only make matters worse. By the gods, he thought, putting his back to the fire, I must look blacker than a kettle. It took him several moments to find Bark. Adar had been on the verge of giving up when he had spotted Bark across the street, slumped on a bench on the porch of a house. The shadows had made him difficult to spot. He stared out, the burning blazes reflecting off his glassy eyes. If he had noticed Adar, he made no move to get up. The imminent danger of the fire didn't seem to register with him as he stared into the flames. As Adar approached, the roof of the home behind Bark sprung into flame when a burning tinder settled on the dry wood. The bleeding man will die if I leave him here, Adar thought. I need him, but I cannot use him as he is. The house Adar had pointed out to Kira was untouched as yet by the flame. The door had been pushed shut, which he assumed meant that Kira had followed his advice. He thought he saw a face in the window, but with all the smoke in the air, he was having trouble telling for certain. The whole side of the street had less than 10 minutes. If Kira was watching, she was going to assume that he was trying to slip away. He paused where he stood and turned towards the house, waving his arms as if trying to get her attention. He made a beckoning motion. Hopefully that would forestall any claim on her part that he had been planning to abandon them. As Adar ran towards Bark, he made a quick detour to a cluster of Hunway remains. He was disappointed to find nothing but destroyed blasters among the charred armor. Two of the weapons had been too close to the bodies and had melted. The other one had broken in 3 pieces. The weaknesses of the Hunway weapons irked Adar. A blaster might kill more efficiently, but if the Hunway had been carrying swords, he would have had a lot to choose from. How many of the blasters had been destroyed by the tower? How many had he tossed aside because they had stopped working? Such a confounded waste. Shaking his head, he sprinted towards Bark. Just before he got to the porch, the door of Kira's house flung open, and she marched out with Lars hanging off her side. She held the blaster in her free hand, which she shook at Adar as she marched in his direction. I am not running from you, Adar thought with a sigh. He would have yelled, but the commotion of the flames made it impossible for her to hear him. The way she held the blaster wasn't going to do her any good should she need to fire it, but he supposed if Isaac or one of the goons were watching, it would give them pause. Bark did not look up as Adar skid to a stop. Gravel from the road slid in underneath his feet as he did. Bark's face and hands had a light dusting of soot. It was nothing compared to Adar. There were streaks through the soot on Bark's face. He cleared his throat repeatedly as if trying to hawk up a wad of spit. His mouth was open, and it wasn't until Adar was in front of him that it became apparent he was moaning. Adar shook his head, wondering what more he could do to convince the man that Soray was just fine. He had told Bark the truth, but if Adar had been in Bark's position, he would have had a hard time believing it as well. If Bark were to stick with him long enough, he would take him to another entrance for the arches. He would have no choice but to believe once he saw how it worked. A distant part of Adar was surprised that he wasn't more bothered by Bark's attempts on Jorad's life. Perhaps it was because Bark was in such a bad place, or maybe it was the fact that Adar knew Bark didn't pose much of a threat to Jorad anyways. Or maybe I'm in such a shock from the events of the day, he thought, that his confession hasn't yet settled in. Compared to Terrors, it is quite minor. Right now, Adar needed help more than he needed to punish the man for his actions. Bark and Kira were what he had. He shook his head. He would take allies wherever he could get them, but what good was a broken man and a woman saddled with a babe? Bark mumbled underneath his breath. As Adar knelt before him, he was just able to understand the words. Gone, gone, gone. I can't believe I lost her too. What kind of a bleeding, Melia-cursed fool am I? I need your help, Adar said, shaking his shoulder. We need to capture a Hunway ship. Come, we don't have much time. After that, I will take you to Soray. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go.
Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.